Hey, everybody. We're back here with another episode of the Tim Gillette Show. I am Tim Gillette, your host. And this show, even though it's called the Tim Gillette Show, is not about Tim Gillette. It's about our guests. Today's guest, Linda Fostek. All right. I know Linda through my friends, Craig Duswalt, through my friends, Nancy Matthews, through my friends, Sandra and Kim Yancey. I mean, basically, I know this woman from so many different places. I'm surprised it took this long to get her on my show. Anyway, we're going to start the show today and we're going to have a great time here on camera letting you get to know who Linda is, just like I found out. If you have not found out about our show, you want to go, first of all, check out timgilletteshow.com and subscribe over on our Apple Podcasts. All right. And while you're here today, our show is brought to you by Simple Easy Marketing, which is me, Tim Gillette's Simple Easy Marketing System. To find out what we do and how we help people, go to simpleeasyevents.com. Check out our next up-and-coming event. I would love to see you there. But today, it's not about Tim. Today, it is all about Linda. Our special guest today is Linda Fostek. All right? And she has a website known as The Crisis Planner. And I'm pretty sure in today's society, she's going to give us some good tips. I'm just saying, I think there's a lot of us who've been through a crisis probably in the last 6 months. For some of you, probably in the last 24 hours. Let's find out how Linda can help you. Linda, how are you?
Wonderful, Tim. It's great to be here.
It's so good to see you again, because it's like, you know, with all this lockdown, we haven't been to events where we'd see each other.
I know. And not seeing people in person. I mean, I love Zoom. I love all the fact that we can do all these things now digitally. But there's no substitute for being able to hug a friend or say hello to somebody and have a conversation face to face and really feel their energy coming back to you. And, yeah. You know, it's been a tough 5 months, certainly.
It has. I know one of the greatest things that I got to do now, Craig, we kind of connected us, Craig Duswalt did. And I went out to help him move here to Texas. And I remember I went to his house and I mean, I get to his house. First thing I do is I give everybody a hug. I'm like, oh my God, I haven't seen you in so long. And like, we see each other all the time and talk to each other all the time, but we haven't been in person. And yeah. Craig and I are used to seeing each other like every other month.
Right.
You know, and it hasn't been as many months. Well, now he's a stone's throw from my house. I can really go visit him. But anyway,
you can ride your horse over there.
I don't have a horse. I don't even have a Harley anymore. I know.
Hey, there you go. Well, I should have said your hog over there.
Yeah. That, yeah. I don't even have one anymore. Oh. I got rid of it.
Why?
It was too many things stored in my garage that I wasn't using. I just picked that one. I got rid of the stuff that was costing me $600 and $700 a month and go, why am I paying and I'm not using it? Yeah.
Okay. That's a good reason.
Yeah. Right now, it just wasn't one of those things on the old things. So, well, Linda, what part of the country are you in?
I'm actually on Long Island in New York, about 40 miles from New York City in East Northport. So that's where I am, like ground zero for COVID.
I'm like, that's like not the place I want to come visit right now.
Well, actually, right now, New York is the place, you know, Long Island is the place because we have like the lowest percentage of COVID patients right now in the country. So right now, it's probably the safest place to be.
Wow. And I mean, you know, with that, all right, being out there on Long Island, you know, first of all, your clients, are they all in the New York area? Or do you help people around the country or around the world?
I help people around the world. What I do serves everybody that is affected or will be affected by a disaster, whether it be a personal disaster or a natural disaster. And Lord knows we've had enough natural disasters going on right now. I think locusts are going to be next, you know. So, although I understand they did have an invasion of locusts in India where I spoke in January.
Oh my
gosh. You know, so I mean, it's like we're the seven plagues are descending upon us here.
Well, I mean, and right now, for us here in Texas, down on the coast, right? I mean, there's a hurricane coming through. And I mean, guys, our prayers are going out to you people down there. Stay safe. Yes, please. Yes. But if it comes to be a crisis, reach out to Linda.
Well, actually, you want to reach out to me before the crisis so that you can be prepared and know what to do.
But see, let me ask you that. Do you get people who, like, they don't think about it until this crap happens, and then they're like, damn, I should have reached out? And I mean, I know you want to tell them, reach out before, but does it take this to get them off their butts to act? I'm curious.
Well, you know, and typically that's the biggest challenge is mm-hmm. that everybody knows that disaster planning in advance is important, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. it's not urgent until something happens. And we know urgent always gets taken care of. It's sort of like you get the leak in the roof and it's urgent now. The water's pouring into your house and destroying everything. So you call the repairman and he goes, okay, that's $2,500 to repair this little spot on the roof, where it would have been maybe $10,000 to replace the whole roof, which you probably need to do anyway. But if you had anticipated that you needed the new roof, you could have planned for it and made it happen and not had to deal with the disaster of having to also fix everything on the inside because you didn't do the new roof. So basically what disaster preparation is about is having plans in place so that you can literally respond instead of react when a disaster does happen. And disasters can be even small things. I've had like the most ridiculous things happen to me since this shutdown. I mean, I'm a widow. I live alone. I have a house that I maintain with my dog. And it's sort of like the first day after the shutdown was St. Patty's Day, and I'm making corned beef and cabbage. I got 3 burners on the stove going, and I got to turn the rear burner off because I haven't literally cooked in 3 years since my husband passed. And the gas burner would not go off. Now, for some people, that could have been something to make them panic. You can't turn the burner off. That's not a good thing. But because I had all of my gas shutoffs labeled as part of my disaster planning, I just went down in the basement, turned off the gas to the stove. And okay, I haven't had a cooktop since the COVID shutdown, although I have an alternative method of cooking. So I've been fine and have been able to cook almost every meal without using the stove. So it's been okay. But knowing what to do is so empowering because you're not like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then what happens when you don't know what to do? You either have less options and you tend to make bad decisions when you're in a panic. You know, it's sort of like the chaplain on the Poseidon Adventure, who's leading everybody in the wrong direction because the boat is upside down and he's still going towards the top of the boat, which is now underwater, where the right direction was to go to the bottom of the boat. You know, it's that kind of thing. And you've seen it with, you know, some of these mass shootings where people actually run towards the gunfire as opposed to away from it. Mm-hmm. Because in a panic situation, you tend to make bad decisions. So being prepared for a disaster makes you able to make the better decisions beforehand. And then you can respond to it and you know exactly what to do. And that's really what my job is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you brought up an interesting situation there, and I'm going to use it a little bit to talk about how my dad taught me planning, you know, and that is the shootings. Now, I grew up around guns. I know what to do in a shooting situation because I grew up around guns. 90% of our society has not grown up around guns, so they don't know.
No.
I'm also not scared of a gun. Scared of one being pointed in my face, on the other hand, but the objective is to avoid that. But all I was trained to do with a gun, and this is probably what you do in crisis, all I was trained to do with a gun was I have the knowledge to operate it to protect my home and my family with the hopes that I never have to
use it. Yes.
And that's what crisis planning, I'm sure you're probably helping your clients, is all right, with the hopes you never have to use it.
But the fact is, we almost always have to use at least some part of it at some point in our life. So, you know, I grew up as a Girl Scout, you know, the motto is be prepared. Mm-hmm. My father was one of those people who, from the time I was a small child, I was not allowed to just complain about something.
Oh, wow. I love that. Yeah.
If you have a complaint, you better have a proposed solution. So even if my solution wasn't great, you know, that was a starting point where then my father and I would negotiate what the right solution was. But the fact that I thought through a solution to my problem, you know, if the problem was I was having difficulty with something in school, and, you know, it was like, okay, what, you know, find out what the problem is, what do you need to make it better? So that was always, and he was an engineer, so he was all about solutions. And so I always grew up knowing how to do things right. I mean, he was the classic belt and suspenders guy, you know, he would get a triptych, but he'd also have the big fold out map that he'd draw the map on as well, just in case something got lost or ruined. And even when we got GPSs, he still would get a triptych, you know, and I still get a triptych for a big trip. Mm-hmm. Even though I have a GPS, because mm-hmm. what if your GPS fails? I've had a GPS fail. So I've been in places where you couldn't get GPS. Yeah. So, you know, you always have to think through the what ifs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and the irony of it is when you do create your plan, the same plan works, whether it's a hurricane, whether it's a wildfire, whether it's a job loss, whether it's disability, whether it's a death of a loved one, mm-hmm. the same information is still valuable in all of those situations. And you say, how could that be? But you need the same kind of information. And that's why, you know, when you create your crisis plan, it's not just for one specific thing, it's for everything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, first of all, I mean, I want to go immediately to like the joke aspect. I mean, my wife and I watched the show Big Bang Theory, and Sheldon on there is known for having all of this stuff of prevention. And like, it's funny, but it's not. All right. Really, he's prepared for almost anything because it's the way he is. But how did you get to be this way other than your dad teaching it? What made you go down this route with a business and go, you know what? I need to help other people with this.
Well, you know, I look at my journey, you know, okay, my dad taught me, I was a Girl Scout, which everything there is be prepared. And then after I graduated from college, I was married and my husband had an opportunity to work on an island called Kwajalein. Now, mm-hmm. Kwajalein is a dot in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And when I say the middle of the Pacific Ocean, if you go to Hawaii and you make a left turn and you go 2,200 miles and stop just over the dateline and just before you get to the equator, in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, you will find the island of Kwajalein. It was 1.2 square miles of land with 3,000 Americans living on it with the highest elevation 6 feet out of the water. Now, I had a job while I was there, and my job was what they called the trouble desk. Now, the trouble desk was like a precursor to 911. Anything that went wrong on the island came through me. They called me if they had a plumbing problem. They called me if a typewriter needed to be fixed. They called me if they wanted the palm fronds on the coconut trees trimmed. I learned more about plumbing and electrical and more things on how things worked in that job than anything else. And I have this job, and in the middle of it, we have a typhoon.
Oh my gosh.
Which I had 15-foot waves breaking on the seawall directly like 20 feet from my door, you know, which was pretty exciting when you're only 6 feet out of the water. And that morning I woke up and the wind is blowing, the water is up over my knees over the whole island. And I'm like, I have to go to work today. And so I walked the quarter mile to the office and waded through the water, dodging coconuts and everything else. And I got there and literally people were calling up. The outlets are sparking. Okay, pull the main breaker and get to higher ground. My trailer's being underwashed. Pull the main breaker, get out, find higher ground. A coconut tree just fell on my house. Okay, pull the main breaker and find someplace else to go. It was always pull the main breaker because that you could end up with a fire or electrical shorts or whatever, because it was in the ground electrical. So I was always pull the main breaker and get out. In the middle of this, some woman calls up, my typewriter is broken. And I'm like, do you think you could call back tomorrow? I think we got a little bit more priorities today. But I really understood the whole crisis intervention or resolution piece of it. And then now fast forward a whole bunch of years, I get invited to retire from my pharmaceutical job that I'd had for years. And I'm like floundering, looking for something that is going to inspire me, something that's going to create a legacy project for me, that's going to leave evidence that I was ever here on this earth. And I'm at an event with Kevin Harrington, and somebody asks him, you know, how does he choose from the 20,000 products he gets presented every year, the 20 to 30 he actually puts his brand as seen on TV on? You know, that's an actual brand. Kevin Harrington invented the infomercial. He was one of the original sharks on Shark Tank. So obviously my ears pick up, what's he going to say? And he's like, if he saw something that filled a need, he would feel compelled to bring it to the market. And I think everybody in the room saw a light bulb go on over my head, because I thought of a project that my father had created 23 years earlier. He had, at the age of 70, had seen so many of his friends starting to lose their spouses, and the one that was left was thrown into total chaos. The husband had never run the washing machine. The wife had never written a check. So the solution guy, the engineer, wrote a home operations manual. Everything you needed to know about your house, what to do with it, how to fix it, when to call in the help, organizing all your documents. But it was written like an engineer. It looked like something an engineer put together, and he had no clue how to market it. So it sat there for 23 years, and I said, oh my God, we need this now. Baby boomers are taking care of their aging parents. They're facing their own mortality. Their kids are growing up and going on their own. And this is something we need more than ever. And that's when I started my journey, and it has been an amazing six-year journey so far.
Yeah, and it's good to see. All right, yeah. Hey, thank you, Eric, for joining us in today. All right, buddy. You know, I mean, it's been incredible to hear people when they share about this, and they share about something that was why they got into it. You know what I mean? And see the roots into it. You know, I'm an overprepared person in a lot of things I do, and it's just because of like the training my father gave me. And it's interesting that this comes from your father. You know, now, Linda, do you have kids or no?
No, I have no children. I'm all by myself through this. And that was probably the most difficult thing with COVID, because it was just me and the dog. He's not a great conversationalist. I have to say that, but he's a good listener. you kind of want some response here and there. But I think the thing that actually proved to me that what I was doing was so important, you know, my husband became disabled. He was disabled the last 8 years of his life. And he got progressively more and more disabled. The last 3 years, he was on kidney dialysis. We were doing home hemodialysis in our house. I was the person that was doing it with him. But when he passed, because we were so prepared, he had everything done. Every plan for his funeral, what he wanted it to be, what music he wanted. I didn't have to make a single decision. And we were both freed when he passed. And it allowed me to grieve in a very positive way. And I know that the things that I've created, the systems and resources that I've created over these years work, because they worked for me. And that created a passion in me that if I know they work for me, I know they can help other people get through some of the worst days of their lives.
And it's great to see that, you know what I mean? See that foresight into other people's lives that, you know, I know that they're going to need this. So the marketing aspect of it, you had to learn the marketing aspect. Is that probably why you found people like me along the ways? Because you're attending marketing conferences.
Yes. And networking and creating awareness, because, mm-hmm. you know, when I tell people I'm a crisis planner, they get, oh, you're a what? What do you do? Are you a financial planner? Are you a lawyer? No, I'm not any of those things. My niche is actually configuration control for planning. Mm. And what's really ironic is my father worked in configuration control for Grumman. And I always used to ask him, what the heck is configuration control? Mm-hmm. You know, and he said, it's making sure all the parts of the LEM fit together, because all these different departments are working on their own individual things. And the configuration control person is the one that makes sure that everything fits together when it comes, when all these different things are delivered. Yeah. So I'm the one who brings it all together so that you can find it when you need it, that you can, it's organized, your family can find it when you need it, so that you're not sending them on a scavenger hunt without a list.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing is more terrifying to a family to lose a loved one and not know what the heck, where anything is or what anything is or what to do. You know, it causes so many family arguments. I've seen siblings that have never spoken to each other again after mom died, you know, and there is no parent that would want that to happen to their children if they had had the foresight to have a plan and tell people where to find it.
I did, you know, I mean, it's funny you say that, because I mean, I did something very similar in my world. When my dad passed in 2010, I have three younger brothers. And I'm up at my mom's house prepping everything and, you know, cleaning stuff up for getting rid of stuff that was dad's that we really don't need anymore. And I told my mother at the time, I said, you know, you need to sell this house and move somewhere else. And everybody's like, well, why are you doing that? It's number one, I didn't grow up in the house, so I don't care. They built that house after I was an adult. Number two, my two youngest brothers did grow up in that house. And at the time, if mom passed, the two younger brothers would probably want to keep the house, but neither one of them could afford to pay for it. Ooh. And the two older brothers could. And I'm like, wait a minute. The two of us didn't grow up in a house. Last thing we want to do is pay for that house. We'd want to sell it. So mom, get rid of it. Now mom lives 150 feet that way in a condo in my complex. She lives here where I can take care of her and do things. But that's foresight. That's looking into what goes on in the future and going, okay, this is going to be a problem. But am I planned down for everything? No. I hope my mom is. It's her estate. It's not mine. You know, I hope she is. But, you know, that's estate planning. That's a whole other thing. It's not just about, you know what I mean? The finances. No, it's about.
That's like, illegal. And then there's all these other pieces. But, you know, but there's certain things that a parent should share with their children. Mm-hmm. Especially if they have a long-term care policy, that's a really good thing to tell people before you need it. Especially, I mean, I had a situation with a client that the father had had Alzheimer's for years. They'd spent all his money on home care for years. Finally, he got so bad, they had to put him into a nursing home. The nursing home, of course, you go on Medicaid to go into a nursing home. It's $15,000 a month. They signed over the house that they had, the family home that they had all grown up in, to Medicaid.
Wow.
When he passed away several months later, that's when Medicaid makes you sell the house, when the person either passes. Because the concept behind Medicaid is kind of bizarre. You go into the nursing home, but you could always come out. So you always have to have some place to live. So they don't make you sell the house until the person dies. Wow. So now they're cleaning out the house, and there they found it in the bottom drawer, safely tucked away, a long-term care policy that not only would have saved the house, but all the money they had spent for his home care all those years.
Wow.
And nobody knew he had it. He didn't remember he had it. And and there was no way they can go back and reinstate it. That's where your planning comes in. So communication with your family, there's certain things they do need to know, but they don't need to know the particulars of your finances or anything like that. They, you know, and the whole idea is they just need to know where to find the information when they need it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, you've got this down to a system. You've got it down to a way that you're helping people. Do you help people like in, is it designed that, you know, to give them a kit, or is it designed for the kit and you working one-on-one with them? How does it work in your world? Can you explain that to us?
Well, I do have a home planning kit, which is a whole complete kit for your house. I mean, it has everything from water leak detectors to circuit breaker labels and gas and water shutoff labels and instruction books and all kinds of things. And a watertight box to keep all your documents in. It's a complete kit. But most people don't, you know, maybe don't want to invest in a kit or don't want to invest the time to do all those pieces. So I have several other resources that are much simpler. I have a book called And Now What, which is a very simple resource that you just put it, you write everything down, you put the list of documents together that are listed in the book, and you just tell your family where to find that. I mean, I'm launching a membership site shortly. I have a few founding members that I'm working with now to develop exactly what people really want and need, because it can be an overwhelming process planning. You know, you get the books. I mean, how many people have bought Susie Orman's course or, you know, even some of my resources, and they buy them and they look at them and they go, oh my God, this is too much. And they put them on the shelf and they never do it until they're in a panic. And then it's kind of too late to do all those things. So what my membership is going to be doing is it's like, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. It's going to break it down into simple, easy steps that they can do, you know, and move forward and ultimately have their complete plan. So that I'm really, really excited about, because I think it's been the missing piece, because it's been the implementation piece that I have not had in place until now. So, and that's going to be launching actually on November 1st. So I'm very excited about that.
Cool. And you know, I was gonna say it in other than a membership, all right, you have it down in a way, like, you know what I mean, we can get you in within 90 days or 1 year to handle all of this. Do you have something like that that's structured also, or no?
Yes, I'm actually in the process of publishing a course right now for people who are caregivers, to help them get stuff together while they're caregiving and also restoring their own self, sense of self, because frequently caregivers kind of lose themselves in the process. Mm-hmm. And I'm also developing a course that's, you know, for boomer women specifically to really get a handle on their planning before it's needed. So I've got a couple of courses that will be launching probably in the next week or two. Mm-hmm. So that, I think that will also help people in the implementation piece.
Cool. So without, you know, giving the personal details, is there a client story that you can share how you were able to help them? That you can share without, I mean, again, not giving the personal details. I don't need to know their name, their address, things like that. But can you share, like, is there a story that you can share of some way you help people that others would understand?
Well, this is a case, again, of somebody that didn't have a plan. So it's really, it was a situation where a 35-year-old man loses his wife unexpectedly. She was the one who handled all the finances for the family. She did everything online. Mm-hmm. Got all their bills online, did everything online. And he didn't even have the password to the computer, had no idea what bank they used, and had no idea what bills needed to be paid. And he sat in front of me in tears. I mean, the grief of losing his wife was already overwhelming. And now this whole financial thing that he just had no clue about. And I was able to get a computer person to assist him to get into the computer and reconstruct all the passwords, because she didn't have anything written down. He had no idea what to do. So, you know, that actually inspired me to create a password passport book, which is a low-tech solution to a high-tech problem, in that it's a written book where you keep all your passwords, you know. So, no, you know, and it really brought to my attention how important these things are today, because I mean, in my password book, I must have 60 passwords at least, if not 100. And, you know, and they change. And when they change, you can change them in the book because the book allows you to do that. So I actually was able to help him get the information he needed and get to understand how to do the banking online and pay the bills online, you know, sat with him with that process. Once they got into the computer, we could have him, you know, just show him how to do it, but he had never done it before. And, you know, usually it's the other way around. It's the woman that has no idea on the finances, yeah. But in this case, he had no idea. I know there was I know I helped a lot of people. I did a talk at a Women's Prosperity Network meeting. It was one of their big national meetings, and there were 150 women in the room. And I was explaining how important your healthcare proxy, living will, and your power of attorney is. And I said, did you realize that if you have a child who's 18 years or older who is not married, and they are in an accident and unconscious in the hospital, you cannot make any medical decisions for them without that living will or healthcare proxy?
Wow.
There was an audible gasp in the room.
Yeah.
Because everybody went, oh, my kid's going to Australia. This one's, you know, and they had no idea that once they're 18, a parent has no legal rights to make any medical decisions for their child without those documents.
Wow.
So I think I helped a lot of people that day. And that's one of the things that I frequently tell people, because it's something that's, you know, you're like, I never would have thought of that. Mm-hmm. And unless you are actively working on your own legal documents, the attorney will ask you if you have a child over 18, and they'll recommend that you do that. And some colleges also recommend that parents set up these documents before their kids go to school, but not all of them. Mm-hmm. And it can be absolutely terrifying. So, you know, so I know I help people when I talk. I know I've helped people through some really bad situations. And, you know, and I also know that I've empowered people to take control of things that they never thought. I had one woman who, she'd been divorced for years, like 20 years she's been divorced. And every time she needed something done in the house, she had to call somebody. She called them for every little thing. And I did a Facebook video of me changing my toilet flapper because my toilet was running. And it was a $10 fix. The part's like, you know, $10, you know. I told them, okay, pick up your toilet lid. That tells you the part number. And then you go to the hardware store, you get the part, and this is how easy it is to fix it. Well, she watched that video and she said, you inspired me. I added water to my radiator in my car the other day, because you inspired me that I could do something. Yeah. And I fixed the screen on my door that's been hanging off. And she said, and just now I did this video over a year ago. 3 weeks ago, she posts a post on Facebook thanking me for giving her the courage to do things. I mean, so I know I'm changing people's lives, because there are things that we can do ourselves, and so many of us don't believe that we have the skill or the knowledge. And, you know, the home operations manual in my crisis planner home system gives you all kinds of information of the things you can do yourself and when to call in the help, the professionals.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, cool. So I guess those are some stories of some.
Those are some awesome. Those are some awesome stories. Well, I mean, I think it's great that you've had this. All right. If people want to find out more about this and about you, what is the one website that they can go to?
They can go to thecrisisplanner.com, and everything is there. Mm-hmm. And, you'll see all the books that I've written. I've written 9 books. You'll see all the products that I have and services that I have. And I'm really excited, because I'm going to be adding a new service that I've been looking for 6 years. I just found it last week, And that's going to be a secure cloud service that you can store all your documents in. Because one of my biggest things is you want to have three sets of your documents. You want to have a physical set at home in some sort of watertight or fireproof safe thing. You want to have one set on a flash drive that you can give to people or put in a safe deposit box. And you want to have one set of documents in the cloud. But I had not been able to find a secure cloud storage that I really liked. And I actually found one last week. So that's going to be a new service that I'm going to be offering on my website shortly as well. And, you know, the way, my thinking behind that is if your home is destroyed, you still have the flash drive in the cloud. If your community is destroyed, you still have the cloud. If all three are gone, we've got much bigger problems than your stuff.
Yeah, good point.
So that's kind of my thought process behind that, because there's only so much you can do, you know?
Well, I do appreciate you coming in today, Linda, and sharing some of these stories with our audience and sharing about you and how to handle some crises that most of us really, a lot of us don't know this simple and easy stuff. And I'm the king of simple, easy marketing. So simple and easy are two things that I love to see. So I appreciate you coming in and sharing today. But before I close up, I've got this little game I like to play with all of my guests. It's called This or That.
Uh-oh.
I've prepared a paper specially for you with a couple This or That questions. So you ready?
I guess I'm as ready as I'm going to be.
This isn't a crisis situation. This is easy.
Okay.
I always like to ask this one to start out to see who's into the science fiction, and that is Star Wars or Star Trek?
Ooh. Old Star Wars.
Oh, wow. Cool.
The first three. Yeah. None of the others. The first three.
Yeah, I kind of like the original ones too. All right. I never watched the original ones until I went to see the number one, which was number four in the theaters. And I'm like, okay, yeah, but I want to go see the other ones to see if they're now. All right. And I went back and I'm like, oh my God, those ones are better. Anyway.
Yes. The original ones.
Yep. So my second
Star
question
Trek is
goes down.
Good. I like both. I like Star Trek too. The original Star Trek was.
Oh yeah, the original show was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
The movies, though, the most recent movies is ones we got into.
Yeah. So,
anyway, so I want to move to a kind of a question that I like to ask women, and that is, especially in this day age, would you rather stay home and wear yoga pants, or are you a dress up kind of girl?
Oh, yoga pants. Yeah.
Especially in our Zoom meeting world, where basically none of us
are dressed. Huh? At least I'm wearing pants.
I'm in sweatpants today because I didn't feel like being in uncomfortable jeans. So, yeah.
There you
go. But it's interesting in our world that we never think about it. And there's a commercial that that comes on TV now. My wife and I laugh at the commercials because they're more entertaining lately. And there's this gentleman comes walking out to pick up the cups in his shirt, in his underwear. And he says, is the meeting coming? And he turns around and the couple that are meeting with is right there. He goes, oh, I thought this was on Zoom.
Yes. That one makes me laugh hysterically every time I see that. I also laugh at the Liberty commercial with the seagulls.
Yeah.
You know, what happens in this one? Seagulls, and one seagull lands on the bench and then a whole flock of seagulls like obliterate him, you know?
Yeah. So.
There have been some actually the caliber of commercials seems to have improved.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you notice, it's the insurance commercials, by the way.
Yes.
And I think that's because everybody's trying to up their game because let's face it, when it comes to insurance commercials, Geico has ruled for years. So, and we like the Jake from State Farm. We love that one.
Oh yeah.
And we're all like, Jake's a pretty handsome dude. Just saying, as a guy, he's a pretty handsome dude. They picked the right person for that. So,
khakis.
Yeah. So how about this one here? If you're going to go out for a drink, would you have a glass of wine or a beer?
Oh, that's a tough one. I actually prefer beer.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, because I've been watching my weight, I've been drinking more wine. So, but beer has always been my adult beverage of choice.
Are you into like certain craft beers or anything like that, or
ice cold basic pilsner? I like it. Don't give me any of this stupid stuff that you have to put fruit in it. That's not
no, good. No. I'm talking like, I love going to these small breweries that have like, you know, and you taste like 7 or 8 different types of beer they made. And it's like, oh, I'm into that craft type beer. Not like this. I'm not like into the standard Coors, Budweiser type stuff anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm like an amber or a pilsner, you know, a lighter pilsner, but amber might be as dark as I go. I don't like the Weiss beers.
Yeah. My wife likes the oil crankcase beers. That's what my wife likes. All right. My next one will stick with food. And that is, would you prefer tacos or a hamburger?
Hamburger every day.
I will gladly pay you or pay you on Tuesday for a hamburger today. I loved hamburgers growing up. Yeah. So,
well, New York is not the taco place, you know?
No.
You know,
New York's the pizza place.
Yes. We don't have breakfast burritos. I'm like, what the heck is that? I know it's a Texas thing, but breakfast burritos? I'm like, ugh. You know? So, yes, pizza, hamburgers.
Okay. Breakfast calzone, okay?
No.
To me, pizza is always a breakfast food. I mean, come on. That pizza on a hungover morning, that pizza that was cold in the refrigerator tastes so good. Anyway, I digress.
Shall we? Yes, we digressed, all right.
My next one goes into personal preference. Right now, the education field has gotten so interesting over the last couple of years, and some people are now into podcasts and some people still read books. Which one do you prefer?
Okay.
And that could be audiobooks, but yeah.
Well, you have a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I have a podcast. I guess podcast is my way that I learn best at this point. I do buy a lot of books, and I have a whole collection of books that I haven't read with good intentions. Audiobooks, yes, I do find.
Yeah, I've gotten quite a few audiobooks, Linda, yeah. As well as, like, you know what I mean? I try to get as many of the digital, like a lot of our friends do the 99-cent campaign to get the best.
Yeah.
And I get them because no matter where I'm at with my iPad, I can pull up somebody's book and read it. I like that feature. And
I love supporting my friends when they are launching a book.
Yeah. And it's always good because that gives me this like never-ending supply of books on my iPad. So, yeah.
Well, and depending on what the topic is, it also gives me a supply of guests for my podcast.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. It's like, you know what I mean? You're putting out a book. By the way, I have a podcast. Would you like to be on it? Yeah. Okay.
But it has to be relevant because my podcast is Get Off the Worry-Go-Round. So it's always about disasters. So it's about solutions to problems. Yeah. So.
Well, that's exactly it. You got to have a niche. Like this podcast is, I interview almost everybody. My other podcast is about marketing, and it's basically designed to be a simple, easy, short tip because the idea is simple, easy marketing. And if I took that podcast and try to make simple, easy marketing and interview people, it wouldn't work. In your case, same thing. You can't bring on the guy talking about a relationship and talk about, you know, how he talks lovey-dovey and say, well, let me talk about the crisis in your life. No woman or man wants to take that guy, I'm sure.
Well, but, you know, it's interesting, though, some of the topics that have been relevant because of COVID that I would not have thought would have been relevant before COVID.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, it all depends on how you twist it and then how the guest understands what you want them to talk about.
Yeah. So I got two more here. The next one is the most famous one on my whole list. Everybody loves to answer. And that is toilet paper. Does it go over on the roll or under?
Over. Over every time. In fact, I go into people's bathrooms and I turn their toilet paper rolls around.
I don't know if you know Cammie Baker. She lives up in New Hampshire, and I had her on my podcast back in March or April. And I asked Cammie that question, and she says, I'm a single girl. And if I go dating a guy and I go to his house and I have to change that toilet paper from under to over three times, I break up with him. This relationship is going nowhere. And she did that, going nowhere. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that she's the most quoted person in my podcast. So in my last one, I know you're a widowed woman, but come on, we're going to ask it anyway. And that is boxers or briefs?
Actually, briefs.
See, she still has taste, guys. Just saying. She may be widowed, but she still has taste.
Hey, you know, you don't forget these things, you know. I ain't dead yet. Although I did see a funny Facebook post the other day of a woman who was actually wearing a man's brief as a halter top.
Oh, yeah, I seen that one too. Oh my God.
I can't even imagine what the front must have looked like.
I don't want to imagine.
It was like, oh my God. You know, okay. One of the Walmart people, I'm sure.
I'm sure, yeah. Anyway. Well, you know, Linda, I thank you for coming on the show today. Thank you for playing our fun little game, all right, and, you know, sharing your message. One more time, tell the audience, both the audio people and the video, your website so that they can actually go check you out.
They can go to thecrisisplanner.com. That's thecrisisplanner.com, and you will find me there. And as you can tell, I may deal with disaster, but I have a sense of humor. Because if we can't laugh at ourselves when things go wrong, it's not a good thing. You have to be able to laugh at the situation, because otherwise you're going to do nothing but cry. And humor releases all those bad feelings and allows you to move forward with your life in a much better way. So,
you know, and I think about that, Linda, as you know what I mean? I close out here. Do you remember, was it 96 or 90? Yeah, 96. The presidential election was Bill Clinton versus Bob Dole. And Bob Dole lost. And Bob Dole, the very next Super Bowl, was on a commercial for the Visa check card. And basically, everybody's like throwing this whole parade. Welcome back home, Bob. We're good to see you, Bob. And he's sitting in the diner at the end of the day with his cup of coffee, and the waitress comes over and goes, you know, is that all, Bob? And he goes, yep. Can I pay you with a check? And she goes, sure, Bob, got ID. And he looks at the camera and goes, I just can't win. I'm sorry. That's a sense of humor, ladies and gentlemen.
That is a sense of humor. And that is, I think that's what's going to get us through
COVID.
Everything that's going on today. I mean, things can be replaced.
Yeah.
If you're still here, your life is still worth living. Mm-hmm. You have so much to be grateful for if you're still here.
Yeah.
And, you know, live every day with joy and gratitude and find something beautiful to be thankful for every day. And then more beautiful, good, joyful things are going to come your way. And yeah. I totally believe that.
I do too. I mean, you know, always look on the bright side is my theme. So, but well, Linda, I'm sorry that the show has got to come to a close. It's been so much fun hanging out with you. All right. And getting to know more about how you help people, and really in a fun way. So, so thanks for coming by today.
It has been my pleasure.
Cool. So you, the listener, all right, go check out Linda, thecrisisplanner.com. Please go over there and check her out, all right? Maybe check out that kit she offers and see if you don't need it yourself before you need it, if you know what I mean, all right? I'm Tim Gillette with The Tim Gillette Show. Be sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts by going to timgilletteshow.com. And I'm Tim Gillette, and I'll see you next time with another great guest. Bye now.